Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. This is Apostle Johnny Floyd coming to you again the first Tuesday in the new year. This is also my mom's birthday, so I'm celebrating her as well as, teaching this class tonight. I thought I would be in Rome tonight, but, she wasn't feeling that well, and so because of the virus and the things that are happening around us, I did not want to go around her and possibly make her sick. So, but I'm excited that my mom is alive and that she was able to see her 76th birthday today. So that's a blessing for me. We have some very interesting things to discuss tonight, and I don't want to prolong time. I think that you will find that the topic that God has given me to discuss for the next ongoing weeks are essential. We will get into why here in a few minutes. But before we do that, let's go into a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, oh God. I thank you for healing. I thank you for strength. I thank you for deliverance. God, I thank you for all things, oh Lord. You said, in all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you. And so, God, we just praise you. We thank you, oh God, for how you kept us safe. And, Lord, I pray tonight that the words that you have given me to speak, oh God, do exactly what you have ordained it do for the listener. And God, I bless you, oh God, as we move forward in the beginning portion of this year. And that we seek you out through every turn, every decision that we make. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, dear heart, I've had this discussion and taught this class many a times before. One of the few things that God has blessed me to do is to be able to hear from him and not just, read the Bible, maybe quote it or whatnot, but to have a conversation with him and listen to him after I render my thoughts to him. And even though he knows them already, but he clarifies and gives me insight upon situation to situation. So tonight we're going to talk about, we'll begin a discussion about the garden, the tabernacle, the temple, Jesus Christ, now you. And I'm not going to get through all of this tonight, so my first portion of this is to really discuss a portion that we've already went over at the end of last year. God had given me the presentation and how we present him. And most of us don't present God. We present Christianity. We present our religious beliefs. And so in the matter of doing that, there's a disconnect from the person that is in the midst of the presentation. I would say there's a disconnect because they're not able in that moment to really receive a true understanding in the beginning of who God is. And so and just to give you a little foundation on why this particular topic right here is important. If your presentation of who God is not clear, then you won't understand the part of him that has prepared things for you. So when you read Genesis chapter number 1, you discover that everything that man would have natural need of, God presented it to him. He made it available, and then he gave man authority over it. So you read Genesis chapter 1 from 1 through 25, you hear how he made the earth, how he separated the waters from the land, the firmaments, in the air, and how he slung the stars, the moon for the light of the night, sun for the light of the day. Grass comes, trees, herb-bearing trees, animals, insects, everything that creepeth upon the earth, birds in the air, fish in the sea. He created all of these things because this is God's way of providing for the natural need of a man. Now, I want you to bear with me as I talk about this. So the natural need of a man. And so then he discovers that this man is alone, and he gives him a helpmate, right? Because if the man is not doing the work, if he's not engaged in the things that God has given him to do, then he doesn't need help. Now, it has to be a determination that we're not talking about church. Okay, I want to be clear about that. I'm not talking about church because God can give you something else to do other than church. What makes this discussion so vivid is that understanding the garden, the tabernacle, the temple, Jesus Christ in you. If you don't know the provision that God has made for you and given you dominion over it, when someone presents God to you, if they don't do it in a manner where you know that the real essence of God is based upon what he said. And if you notice in chapter number one, before the earth was anything, it was without shape or void. And so God speaks and something happens. He speaks, fish comes into the sea. He speaks, birds are flying in the air. He speaks, there are animals walking on the ground, insects. There's grass growing, trees growing. God speaks, and the sun is the light for the day. God speaks, and the moon is the light for the night. And he puts stars in there. So the essence of the true introduction of God is that there's power in what he says. All right, I want to get you that. Now, there's power in whatever God says. And again, I'm laying the foundation for what we're going to discuss. And so the other thing he does, he creates man in his own image. So now he doesn't create his image in flesh because God is a spirit. And so the image that he created man after, he created he, them, male and female, is spirit. So God did not make create flesh in his image because God is a spirit. But now he gives man a body. And, the mystic came up from the earth, and God shapes or forms man's body. And when the body of the man and the spirit of the man come together, he becomes a living soul. So this tells us that the soul is a byproduct of the image of God and what God created coming together, right? So foundation-wise, now I just want you to grab that. But now you would think that God was finished because he pulls a woman out because a man has to, you got to hear this now, the spirit of a man has to hear what his assignment is from God. And he has to be doing that work in order for God to give him a helpmate, right? So we have to understand that first now, that even though God gave man all these provisions, he still had something for him to do, all right? So now God puts man to sleep. The man cannot and does not know what God is up to. So he could not give God any type of information, could not give him any dialogue. He could not tell him how he wanted this helpmate, the woman, to look like. Neither could the woman tell God her expectations because she didn't have any. And Adam didn't have any. So there was no expectation because, number one, her eyes and heart was toward God. She didn't have any expectations of a man. And neither did the man have expectations of a woman because he hadn't seen one. Okay? So now, again, this is foundation. Because the key in this is what I'm getting to is the garden, the tabernacle, the temple, then Jesus Christ. And again, I won't be able to get deeply off into that. So now, the thing that I love the most about this is that, and we leave this out, after God had done all of these things, there was still something left. Because now we have to understand that God created man for himself. He did not create man for anything else but himself. So he's given man all he needs. Now God is about to present a place to man for what he needs, for what he desires, and the reason why he created man. So my presentation is always the power of God's word. Now, I didn't say the Bible. The power of God's word. Because when God speaks, it has not been written on paper what God is saying to you right now, but is being transcribed in your spirit. So this makes God's word more powerful, because it's not what people read of what God has said to you. It's when you receive the very essence of what God has spoken into your spirit. Now, what makes this good now is that after God had done all of these things and what he said came to pass because it happened, we benefit from it today, right? We discover something, I would say, that is mind-blowing, but we have not really dove into this thing to really grasp it. But this should be a part of the presentation of who God is, right? And so now we get to this point in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 8. The title is long. The garden, the tabernacle, the temple, Jesus Christ, and now you. Right, and I want to lay that foundation, because you know it's what God said that has more power in it. And so now, if we're discerning of the fact that the Word of God is what God speaks into your spirit, it is God hasn't shared with everybody what He has particularly said with you. Now, we have a different experience because we read the Bible. We see what God said to Adam. We see what Moses writes and what God said to various things. And Luke, Matthew, and what we call the New Testament, in the Gospels, we see what Jesus has said, and that is shared. Right? And that's good. But the power is when God transcribes something that he says in your spirit. And your spirit has dominion over your will and your emotions. Then you're receiving something that is, quite frankly, more powerful than what's been written. I want to say that to you now. Because You have to get to read the book or try to refresh yourself on something that you may have or may not have read in a necessary manner or in a way, whether you read it in the New English Version, the New King James Version, the NIV, the different versions there is, right? And you're trying to remember those, and you may not be good at memorizing or refreshing or quoting those particular scriptures. But the one thing that you do know is that when God speaks something in your spirit, it wasn't for everybody's ears or eyes. That's the thing that he said to you. And no one else may grab a hold of that. No one else may know what God said to you, only you. But God is speaking to you directly because he created you for him. Ooh, boy, I tell you, I don't even want to move away from that right now. The real presentation is, even when God speaks now, all of these things he gave to for you, now, why did God make all these things and create all this earth and all these animals a provision for man? Man is his vision. So why would he do that? Because when man comes to God, man doesn't have a need or a request or a desire. He's just coming to God to give God what he created him for. Whew. Listen to this now. So when you understand the garden, it's going to lead you into the tabernacle. It's going to lead you into the temple. It's going to take you to Jesus. But now something is in you. Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 8 says this. And I'm reading from the King James Version. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man who he had formed. Verse number 9. And out of the garden, out of the ground, made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Now, I stopped at verse number 9. I'm gonna go on later. So I have to talk about these two. Because God didn't create a garden for Adam. That wasn't what this was for, right? This garden was created that when Adam needed to talk to God, he had a place he could go to. But it really wasn't Adam talking to God. This is where you hear some talk about the cool of the day, and they miss it because they think the cool of the day is about the man. But Adam meeting God in the garden in the cool of the day wasn't about Adam. It was about God. Because Adam didn't have a need. So when he came into the place that God had created, it was strictly to worship the Lord. Now, mind you now, he could not worship God if he was not obedient to God. If he was not obedient to God, God would not have given him a helpmate. So the first thing that God does with the obedience of Adam is give him a helpmate, right? Someone, their heart is pointed toward God and not necessarily towards Adam. Y'all with me? I'm still learning something here, and it's blessing me as I do. And so, Now God sees the Adam needs, and so he gives him a helpmate. So not only is Adam now obedient to the Lord, reference to what he do, but he has to still be obedient to God because Eve, who God never called Eve, and she was still Adam, you know, Adam's heart now was towards God through Eve because God took her from him, and so he shakes and he forms this woman from what God knew that Adam needed. Now, I got to talk about this, y'all. Y'all don't mind, do you? You know, I see the questions popping up. I see people raising their hands. So now listen to me real well here. There was no need for Adam to have a wife, if I could put it in present terms, if he was not going to obey God. Right, God gave him something to do, so Adam had a responsibility, and it was to do the things that God had laid upon him to do. And as he did that, God saw that he was alone, but he knew he should not be alone, right? Because he was doing the work, he was obedient. And when what God gave him, you know, he still wasn't disobedient. You know, he was still obeying God. But now he was obeying God with the help, meaning that he could do more for the Lord. Now, again, I'm not pointing this at church. I'm not telling nobody, you got a wife, you go build church. That ain't what I'm saying. Because the very thing that God has you doing could be in the community. It could be in the hospitals. It could be in the business sector. It could be in the legal field, it could be in the law enforcement, it could be entertainment, right? It could be advertising, it could be financial, it could be any of those things, because God needs to have a presence in all of those, And if you obeying God, doing these things, God sees you need help, and you're not doing this for you, you're doing this because he sent you to do this, right? Then he gives you help. So now you and what he gave you, he didn't give it to you that you would, what is the word I'm looking for, that you would rule over her. That's not what God gave you your help for. He did not give you help that you would control what she does, because the instructions that God gave was given to the spirit. And since man, and since the male and female spirit was created in the image of God, when he said Adam, he was giving both of them the instructions. So she is not unfamiliar with what God says, and that should tell you from a spiritual perspective, men, if y'all listening to me, that you're not the only one in this group or in this connection between you and your wife that can hear from God. Ooh, boy, I might need to slow it down here for a minute. So God's speaking to the spirit of the man as well as the woman, the woman, the woman. God is speaking to both, and he could be sending the same message and at the same time. So now mind you now, I want to go back now. I had to lay this out to you because, you know, when God plants this garden, it's that she may have his time with Adam. Ooh. Not only does God give you the provision that you need, but he needs his time. If that makes sense, y'all. Because, you know, God put, when he planted this garden, put the man whom he had formed in there. And so then out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight. So, you know how some women said men are visual? And they're talking about looking at other women and things of that nature. But now God does something, because in his presence, there are trees, It says every tree that is planted, so there would be trees, right, that are pleasant to the sight and good for food. I gotta do this. You know, even though I'm not a vegetarian, I gotta do this. If you ever thought that God didn't intend the man to eat meat, here is that scripture right here. And I love me some chicken. Just stop eating pork. I'm really getting off beef, and I'm becoming more of a vegetarian. I love fish now, you know. But in the presence of the Lord, he plant a tree that is pleasant to sight and good for food. A tree now. And also in there, the tree of life, also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We'll get there shortly. So this lets you know that God had prepared a place not just for Adam and Eve, or Adam, as he knew both those spirits to be, but he prepared a place for him. Because in this particular area, Adam could eat from the tree of life, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil was for God only. Can I be more specific? In the presence of the Lord, do not fool yourself that there is good, right? There is life. And life in abundance in the presence of the Lord. But in God's presence, that's for him. That has nothing to do with man. Y'all with me? You can receive something of the Lord, but in the presence of God, that's for him. Let me throw a little hurdle at you. You can also partake of something that can harm you in the presence of the Lord. And if he's giving you instructions to leave that alone, it's best you leave it alone. there is nothing that has changed in the presence of the Lord, because it is that power that exists there. So the Garden of Eden is symbolic to us of the presence of God. You got to grab this now. The Garden of Eden to us now is symbolic of the presence of God. When this was written, the Garden of Eden was the place, the centered place, was the place where God would meet with Adam. That was that place. He would talk to Adam. And notice again, I want to say this now, Adam did not come into God's presence with a need, because all of his needs were met. If he came into the presence of God, he had the freedom to eat from the tree of life. Didn't say he was hungry when he came, but God had something for him when he came, and he could get it from the tree of life. It was not for him to know good and evil. It was not for him to know good and evil, only life. I hope y'all are understanding what I'm saying. And so now, what the other interesting piece is in here, and I'm talking about the garden now, because there's a reason why, and when I get to at the end of these scriptures, I'm going to tell you something I want you to grab a hold of. You take notes. You're going to follow me along these ways, that this is not what I say, but you're going to read this for yourself. You know, so verse number 11 says this, right? Well, hold on, let me back up. Verse number 10, let me read this. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 10. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from this it was parted and became into four heads. So it didn't say a river flowed through the garden. It said a river flowed out of the garden, and it broke off into four heads, right? So now, again now, you have to understand the power in the presence of the Lord. If my presentation is clear, when God says something, something happens. If man can hear from God and obey God, he's going to give him help to rule over, not to put a thumb on it, not to make her be quiet, not to control what she does, because she can hear from God just as good as you, you know. So God does all these things, but then God has a place now for who he created to now come and do what he created him for, worship him. Worship him. So now if you're getting in the presence of the Lord, there is life, but there's good and evil. I want you to hear this now. There is life, and there's good and evil. Anybody that tells you evil cannot exist in the presence of the Lord, they're lying to you, because God created it. It'll obey him just like anything else. Evil, good and evil, was in the garden, and God put it there. So let's not be religious now. And think because you speak in tongues, you slanging all everywhere, laying hands on somebody, because you're doing that, evil ain't there. There's a difference between demonic spirits being cast out and them fleeing and not want to be in the presence of God versus someone's evil nature or thoughts can be in the same presence of God that you are and them not know God is present. They can be there. And you're not going to be able to convince anybody anything else when they read this. We read it all the time, but we don't see it. And dear hearts, I want you to read this. Because in the garden, God placed the tree of life there and the tree of good and evil. Now, also in the presence of the Lord, there's a river flowing out of it. It's a river flowing out of it, flowing out of it. It did not go through the garden, but it came out of it. And now, this is significant now. This is real significant because, you would have to really dive deep into this. But verse number 11 says this: the name of the first is Pison, that is which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And this is not euphoric. This is present. This is symbolic, right? Because you have to understand now that there is things flowing out of the presence of the Lord on the area very much where you stand. If you can see it, it's spiritual now, but it's flowing out of the presence of the Lord. And it's flowing. And so there's a resource of gold, verse number 12, and the gold that is on the land is good. There is a bdellium and onyx stone, right? You have to look up these stones. It'll tell you how much they're valued at in our present time. Now, it never said diamond. Never said pearls, right? Gold, onyx stone, bdellium, and the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. So it's something in this now. I want you to grab it. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And God commanded that the man saying, of every tree in the garden thou mayest eat freely. And some it says freely eat, right? But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in that day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So, now, this is interesting here because before it gets to what you can't eat or what you can eat in the presence of the Lord, now, all these things that God created for men, you know, but God said, in my presence, though, I'm giving you a tree that you can eat from, the tree of life, you know. Because the tree of life is good for food. The tree of life is good for food. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil, he did not want them to eat from. Yet he put it in the garden. He's gonna test your obedience. In his presence, he can put things there. Even as he told you not to do it, that's what he means. Have you ever had a child that you had to use reverse psychology on because you told them not to do something that does exactly what they're going to do? You know, stop, don't do that. They go right to doing it. You know, that's that Adamic nature, the nature of Adam. God said not to, and Adam went to do it anyway. You know, there's a story about a man that had a wife, children, and had 100 acres of land. He had a river flowing, not a river, a stream, you know, about as wide as a four-lane highway, a stream, you know, going through his property. And he had witnessed someone buy their wife a diamond. And it was a beautiful thing. And so he felt like that he wanted his wife to have that type of stone. He wanted to give her something of that nature, and he didn't know how he would do it. So he was a wealthy man, though. And so what he did was he sold his land to his friend. And he took the money that he sold to search out for that beautiful rock for his wife. Needless to say, he had spent all his money, and he was frustrated. And he found himself at the edge of the cliff, and he didn't know what to do because he had failed. He didn't get his wife what he wanted to have, and not necessarily saying that's what she wanted. Side note, ladies and gentlemen, it's best to ask the person that you love what they desire, not to go out here and get them something that you want them to have, because what you want them to have may not be what they want. I've learned that. So keeping that in mind, a side note, he finds himself at the edge of a cliff, and he jumps and kills himself. Body gets turned back, and he had written a message, and the story goes that the owner, that the person he had sold the land to, his neighbor, his friend, decides that he was going to do something, you know, to appreciate his friend's wife. So he gave some of the money back, and you know, so they could keep the land. And while he was in the stream that was going through the property, you know, with the cattle and stuff and his horses, he noticed these black stones that was in the stream. He picked them up, and there were all these diamonds. They was just uncut. The moral of the story is that what God has given you where you are is more than enough. I want you all to grab that now. You know, don't go reaching for something that you think is better when God has given you the best. It's not better. You know, oftentimes, and I'm going to say this because presentations, you know, men, women cheat. Not all. It's because they think that what they have at home, there may be something better. You know, and so when you have diamonds in your backyard, you know, when you have, they may be uncut. Your spouse is a diamond. And she may not be cut, he may not be cut the way that you want them to be, but God has them in a stream, and it's flowing, because you didn't get that person because you were good. You got that person because God saw you needed help. You was obedient. You cannot change your level of obedience. It should increase and not decrease. And which means that if you was hearing from God to tell you what to do then, when she comes, you need to continue to hear from God. When he gets there, you need to continue to hear from God. And you need to trust what God says to you, because your heart is towards God, not towards that person. I used to tell people all the time, and I mean this, I actually told my friend this, you know, I told her, and I meant it, you know. I don't look into her eyes to see how much or if she loves me. I don't do that because that's not fair. That's full of expectations. You know, when I look in her eyes to see how much God loves me. And I'll tell you why. Because and if you think about this, and even God says this, or the writer Moses says this in the book of Genesis, that Eve's heart was never towards Adam. It was towards God. Her heart was never towards Adam. It was always towards God. Adam's heart was never towards Eve. It was towards God. Because of his obedience, God showed him how much he loved him. You cannot show God you love him if you're not willing to be obedient. You cannot obey God for a wife. You cannot obey God for the presence. Your obedience should come because that's what God asked of you. That's what he asked you. I'm not talking about anything you've read or some book of scripture or Old Testament, New Testament, dispensation of time. God transcends time. You know, we are in time. God transcends all of those things. And And here in the garden, this is in eternity. This is not in time. Time doesn't start with man until he sins. Time brings about a beginning and an end. And so here in the garden, there was no time. There was no clock. He was there obeying God. Think about that. There was no time in the presence of the Lord. No clock in Eden. And so, which means that God has something for you to do in his presence. He has something for you to do in his presence. Where we have failed is that we made the presence of God about church. And it should be about life. In the Garden of Eden, he didn't say, come, go to church and experience my presence. He said, in my presence, there's something for you that you can't partake of, and that is the tree of life. It's good for food. Good for food. You know, and so now, but there is a tree that you shouldn't eat from. Now, how can you, in the presence of the Lord, determine what's good and what's the knowledge of good and evil? And what is the tree of life? He'll tell you what that is. Again, the presentation that one should make of God is what he says, not what you read. I hope you all are grasping this. You know, God didn't give them a book to read. He could have. He could have created books then. That's not what he did. He used the very essence of who he is, and he spoke. They heard him. They obeyed. Not that difficult, ladies and gentlemen. And when we hear from the Lord, when we receive, what God has said, it moves us now to another place. And that is the place that he's trying to get us in, where we hear from him, we obey him, we follow his instructions, and he gives us help because we obey him. And then he brings us into his presence that he can even give us more of him. Are y'all listening to me? Apologize for the buzzer. So now hearing that now, hearing the fact that God has something to say to you, hearing the fact that God is wanting to do something with you, hearing the fact that God has an assignment for you, right, and not making it churchy, let's make it about your life. It could be the area where God's sending you. Doesn't mean he wants you to preach. Doesn't mean he wants you to teach. Doesn't mean that he wants you to pastor or any of those things. You know, it could be that God has something you do for a certain specific group of people, and that's why he's sending you. Whatever assignment that God has to you is not about you. What I love about this piece here is this has nothing to do with Adam as much as we would want it to do, to be about Adam. The Garden of Eden, Adam had something to do, but he had a place now that he could talk to God. He had a place. And if we really dive into that place, the strength of that place is demonstrated by what now comes out of it. Now, I didn't get a chance to dive deep into that, but I'm going to do that right now. What is coming out of the presence of the Lord? Normally, we see it flowing from someone else. We look at rivers, and either they're coming from the top of a mountain or flowing downstream or something, or flowing upward and flowing around. But we travel these rivers to find out where they're coming from. Mississippi River, you know, is connected to the ocean. And so we have water flowing inward towards it. And it's not moving lightly. It's moving swiftly. It's almost like there's a magnetic pull of the water. And so, but the water is coming from somewhere and it's going somewhere. So when we look at the Garden of Eden, it's just coming out. I want you to grab that now. It's just coming out. And it has, one of these rivers has a natural resource to it that if it comes out of the presence of the Lord, it's with you. Excuse me. It's with you now. I want to say something, but I'm not going to go there right now. I want to wait before I get there. So the things I want you to notice now that is in the garden is that God's word is in the garden. The presence of the Lord. There's a place for man in the garden, and there's the power of God in the garden. Now, the presence of the Lord, the power of God, God's word, all the same thing. It's all the same. There's no difference in it. I'm just giving you a description so you can see it, you know, that as the Garden of Eden is explained. There is knowledge of good and evil in the presence of the Lord, and there is the tree of life that you can take from in the presence of the Lord. You can eat from the tree of life, and you shouldn't leave the other tree alone. Everything you don't need to know. And God doesn't have to explain to you things that you don't know. If he wants you to know, he'll tell you. If he doesn't want you to know, leave it alone. That makes sense. It makes sense to him, but it doesn't make sense to us because we feel like we have to know. God, you got to tell me. You know, that there's no reason why we can go, why is this pandemic going this way? Why do we have people that don't want to get vaccinated? Why do we have divorces? Why do we have men cheating? Why this? Why that? Whether you're talking about politics, whether you're talking about abortions, whether you're talking about homosexuality, whether you're talking about abuse, whether you're talking about infidelity, you know, all these things that are wrong, if you notice now, all those things came from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Yet in the presence of the Lord, but we never partook of it until Adam did. And when I say Adam, God knew Eve, she knew Adam as Adam. It was Adam the male that gave Adam the female the name Eve. As long as you know that. So if you reconcile this in your mind, all of these things took place in a place where the presence of the Lord or the cool of the day you hear people talking about was not about Adam. It was about God. Never was this about Adam. God created a garden, his presence, that what he created may come in and worship him. Dear hearts, at the beginning of this year, it is in my heart to put this upon you, is that you would now position yourself to hear from God. Because hearing from the Lord is going to put you in a place where you can do what he's asking of you. And if you're doing what he's asking for you, he's preparing you to do a work, and your obedience is going to determine how he blesses you. And when I say bless you, I'm not talking about give you things. I'm talking about when he speaks something over you. Because again now, it's what God speaks is the blessing. A blessing is a benediction. It's the final word. So you want God to release a word over your life concerning your family, your children, your ministry, your business, your finances, your spouse, your job, your future, your vision, your destiny. You want God out of your obedience that you heard from him to obey him in the manner that will knock his socks off. Because once he sees that he's given you something to do in his presence and that you're diligently at this thing without any equivocation about, you know, not trying to listen to Sue, Martha, Mary, Elizabeth, not trying to listen to them, not trying to listen to Shaniqua, not trying to listen to Bebe, not trying to listen to Jimbo. Your ears are tuned to God. And because of that, whatever you do now, he sees it. And whenever you need help, he'll send it. And it will be there always. Dear hearts, I really appreciate how diligent you all have listened to me and the comments that you all have made in reference to the night. Yes, as you know, presence of the Lord, the Garden of Eden. We're not talking about church, as I see someone say, God, you're not talking about church. No, I'm not talking about church. You know, I am discussing where you are right now. God can bring you into his presence, and he can give you an assignment, and you can work this thing in his presence. And once he see you doing it, he'll give you help. He'll bring you closer to him. He'll provide everything you need that when you come to him, you're not asking for anything. He'll give you something, but you're not asking him for anything. And he will continue to speak a word over your life. I'm not talking about quote a Bible scripture, because he can, you know, we can read about children of Israel crossing over the Red Sea. That's a good story. I believe it happened. I've been out in that area where the Red Sea is, and trust me, that's a big feat. But you know, when he does something and speaks it in your life, and so we like to validate that God did something only because we're trying to prove something to people. Got nothing to prove to nobody. So once God says something to you, and he delivers on it, if he wants you to witness to someone about it, amen. Other than that, just be quiet about it. Just be quiet about it. Because you want God to do something in your life or in someone else's life. We don't want to speak out a turn. We don't want to say anything that God didn't give us to say. Again, we want to hear from the Lord. Amen. Pray with your brother. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, oh God. Father, I felt your presence all through this discussion. And God, nothing was going to shake me away from this. So, Lord, I'm definitely appreciative on how you saw me through this process. And, Lord, I never said it, but I'm going to say it now. I thank you, oh God, you know, for how you brought me through last year. And the people that I love and the people that you have brought in my life that are close to me, God, you allowed us to go through it where others, oh, God, didn't make it. And, Father, I believe in your presence we still have things to do. I don't want to leave here with what you have given me undone. So, Lord, I thank you, oh, God, for this other opportunity that you have given me, Father, to obey. I thank you for help, Father, not just for me, but, Lord, appreciative of the help that it came from you and that is your hand in my life. I'm grateful, Father. Lord, I thank you. I praise you. And, Lord, be with the listeners tonight that they would hear from you as well. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen. Well, dear hearts, I am grateful for all that God has done. I want you to continue to dive off into the garden you know how y'all do. You go back, you're going to read Genesis chapter 2, verse number 8, and you're going to read 8 all the way down to 17. And I want you to study those four different rivers and look where the gold is and look where the bullion is, the onyx stone. And look at those areas. They are rich because of what has already been deposited there. And so there's a flow coming out of the presence of the Lord. I want you to remember this now. There's a flow coming out of the presence of the Lord. This is not mystical. This is not hypothetical. There is a flow coming out of the presence of the Lord. And if you position yourself in the right place, if you position yourself now, there's something you're going to discover about the presence of the Lord. Amen. Love you all. Got a few minutes left. I want to say thank you to the people that God has placed in my life that have really enriched it and has challenged me to be a better person, to be a better man. And I want to say that I'm a student. I'm forever changing, hopefully for the better, and that God is really helped me to be more compassionate, more humble, you know, and I'm not so much intrigued about changing somebody's mind. You know, we don't, let me say this to all the ministers out there that are listening. You don't change someone's heart by dealing with philosophy, because all of our philosophical positions is what separate us. We have philosophy when we deal with the Bible, which springs out into religious sayings or activities. But the psychology of God speaking to you and what he gives you to say is what changes people's hearts, changes their minds. We are divided by our philosophy, but the psychology brings us together. It doesn't matter. You know, we may go to different churches, and those that are going to church on Sunday, you know, this Baptist church or that Baptist church, that may separate us. But what brings us together is when someone is hurting. Pain don't care what your religion is. Sickness and disease don't care what your religion is. You know, and so that's the psychology of it. And that's the thing that I want to share with all the ministers. Let's get away from the philosophy of the gospel, you know, what you stand on from a religious perspective. But let's look at the psychology of the gospel, because we don't want no separation between us. Amen? Well, God bless you, dear hearts. I had to leave that with you. Until next Tuesday, we're in the garden. We're going to the tabernacle next. Amen? Blessings to you all.